भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
भजतोऽपि न वै कश्चित् भजन्त्यभजता
कुता
आत्मरामा हि
अप्तकामा
अकृतज्ञा गुरो द्रोहा यथो
भजता.
With those who are acting favorably, api, even, na, not, vai, certainly, kechit, but some, bhajanti, reciprocate, abhajataha, with those who are not acting favorably. Kuta, what to speak of. Now, why don't we just stop right here and we'll understand what's going on in the Sanskrit words over here, and then that will make the last part of the verse more clear, because the individual words in the last part of the verse, in the second foot of the verse, quite important, and the acharyas have commented on that. What's going on over here? This is the problem, or part of the problem too, I think. Nope. Maybe part of the problem, but it's not part of the solution. Now, again, from here until the end of the chapter, there is the previous verse, or a verse prior, in which the gopis ask questions of Krishna. After Krishna has left the residence and has returned, they have asked him questions about the different nature of lovers, or the different nature of those who, and their reciprocation with others. They mention three different kinds. And does anyone remember what those three kinds are? I've been going over those every day. Or does anyone remember one of those? Okay, yes.
The first kind of lover reciprocates equally, like he reciprocates to the level that the other person reciprocates.
Yes. And what does Krishna say about that?
That's business.
Just like business. You give me something, I give you something. You give me less, I give you less. You give me more, I give you more. Just business. The second kind, the kind we spoke about yesterday, that they asked about was... what? Remember? Yes. Those who give and give and give and give and give, regardless of what the reciprocation is. And there were two kinds, or two different entities in that category. The first was pital, like the parents. And the first one, or the primary one, or the more exalted one, was the Karuna. Those who are just simply merciful. They just want to give to others. They don't care. They're interested in the other's welfare. They don't care how the person takes it, whether they are so grateful or they are completely ungrateful. They don't care. So, and in that verse, Krishna used the word in his reply and explanation of that type of a lover. He used the word sumadhyama in referring to the gopis, which indicates that two things, that indeed this second class of lover who is just concerned with pleasing another, they are superior to the other two. The first one, I reciprocate with how much you love me. This one is so superior. And this one, in fact, because this is the middle one, so sumadhyā, auspicious middle, indicates also that the love of the gopis is of the top class. This is love, in fact. Concern with the pleasure of others without tinges of selfishness in the consciousness. This is exalted. This is the perfection of religion. This is the perfection of religious acts. Just concerned about another. And everyone in this world appreciates those who are big and kind-hearted in this way. Those who help others without considering their own needs are always exalted in society. And that brings to mind that the verse from the 31st chapter, that Tavakatam Ritam Tapti Jivanam Kaviriditam Kamas Apaham Shravana Mangalam Srimaratatan Burigurananthiye Buridana. That the person who actually distributes Krishna Katha or Krishna consciousness, they are the most munificent welfare workers. This is the conclusion of the gopis. Tavakatam Amrita, the Katha, the words about you, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kavibiriditam Kamasavam. They are full of, they remove the distress of other living entities. So this verse again, Krishna Katha, removes the distress of others, because everyone in fact in this world is burning in the fire of unhappiness. Practically speaking, or actually speaking, it's unhappiness due to separation from Krishna. The soul cannot be happy. Like a spark separated from the fire, it must become extinguished, either quickly or slowly. So similarly, the soul in this world, separated from Krishna, not in fact separated from Krishna, but in consciousness separated from Krishna. Like someone may turn their back on the sun and they don't experience the presence of the sun. Of course, the sun is still beating upon them, but they don't have that in their consciousness. They are still getting the benefit of the bright rays and the health supporting rays of the sun, but they are not conscious of it. So therefore, everyone in this world must be feeling some deep existential pain, in fact, because of being separate from Krishna in consciousness. And that is called Krishna Bahirmukh. Bahirmukh means what? Do you know? What does Bahir mean?
Many places.
That's Bahu.
External.
Yes. So, yeah, facing away. It means basically turning our back on Krishna. It's very insulting, isn't it? When you turn your back on someone, you just turn around. So the cure for the problem is becoming samuk with our face to Krishna, facing Krishna. So those there's one pastime of in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, how there was a great king whose name was Alabandra, and he became the predecessor acharya to Ramanuja Charja. And he was when he was born in the family of I can't remember his name, but his grandfather was the acharya of the Ramanuja of the Sampradaya in the Alvars. His grandfather, and he was a great scholar in youth, and there was a pundit in the king's court who was very, very arrogant. So this young boy, whose name was Yamuna, came in and he had a discussion with him, and he defeated him. And because of that, because he defeated him, he was made a king himself. How wonderful! The scholar defeated the Raj Pandit and he became a king. But unfortunately, when we become kings or queens, we tend to forget spiritual life because we're surrounded by opulence. So this Alabandra means he who conquered, because he conquered the pandit. When his grandfather died, who was the acharya, he wanted to pass on the succession to his grandson, who was a great scholar and a great devotee, who was completely enamored by material life. So, right before he died, he sent someone, one of his disciples, he gave him an instruction: after I die, I want you to approach Jamuna, and I want you to give him a message about an inheritance. So after the acharya left this world, his disciple went to see the king. And it was very, very difficult to see the king. So he had to be very, very, what to speak of to get the king's confidence. Because when you have wealth, when you have position, everyone is trying to get close to you. And what's their motive in getting close to you? They want something from you. So therefore, kings and wealthy persons, they're used to that. And they're very defensive. They'll be nice on the outside, but they know everyone that's simply trying to get something from them. There's no affection. So this disciple, he devised a plan how to get the confidence of the king. So he went to the forest every day and picked this very health-giving vegetable, some type of a shak. And he would bring it to the kitchen, the king's kitchen, and it would be cooked and served to the king. And very quickly the king, Yamuna, began to feel stronger and healthier. He was nourished by the wonderful taste and the health-giving properties of this herb vegetable shak. He did this. The Brahmin went to the forest day after day after day after day after day after day. And then one day, and the king was becoming hopelessly addicted, basically, and then one day he stopped. He simply stopped coming. So the king asked, where is my vegetable? It was giving some sort of taste, what health-giving properties. How come you've stopped giving it to me? And then the cook said, well, this Brahmin would bring it every day and now he's stopped. Get him immediately and bring him to me.
You want to go and see the king. You can't see him, but when the king calls for you and he wants something from you, then it's very easy. So the king brought him. And he said, please, you are bringing me this wonderful vegetable every day and now you've stopped. Why is that? And he said, actually, I have a message from your grandfather who has just passed from this world for you. He wanted me to tell you, he instructed me to tell you before he left this world, he instructed me to tell you that he had the most wonderful, precious, valuable inheritance for you. And he began, the Brahmin messenger began to describe the jewels and the opulence and the greatness of the inheritance. So immediately the king said, please give it to me. I want it. Give it to me. And he said, I can't give it to you. I have to bring you to it for you to claim it. This was the instruction. So the king, Yamuna, agreed, and they went to the city of Trichy, and right near that is Sri Rangam, and he brought the king in front of the deity, Ranganath. And he said, this is the bequeathal. The Lord here is the bequeathal. This is your inheritance. Look at the beautiful eyes of Krishna. Look at the beautiful form of Krishna. So immediately, Jamuna looked at the deity and his heart became completely captivated and tears streamed from his eyes. And he wrote some very, very, very beautiful prayers right on the spot, glorifying the deity. And he gave up his kingship and he took up the position as the head of the Sampradaya. Now what is the connection between that very sweet story and what I was telling you? That to entice us, to bring us, to purify us, to carry our heart to Krishna, to awaken an attraction, to help us turn towards Krishna, we have to hear about him, just like the king had to hear about his inheritance to attract him to go to that place. And once in that place, his taste for the beauty of the deity was in place in his heart, then full renunciation became easy like anything. So therefore, turning towards Krishna means hearing Krishna Katha. So those who just give that, regardless of the result, they are buddhida jana. Buddhi means heavy. And da means giving. So they are giving the heaviest of charities. And therefore Prabhupada stressed the book distribution. He distressed and he said to live in a temple or to visit a temple, Krishna temple, means to come in contact with the hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is what a temple means. Because this is what turns one, makes us samuk. But now our back is to Krishna. Then we have to turn towards Krishna by hearing about Krishna because he is so attractive. And he is just, relationship with him is just what everyone is truly longing for. So that second class, the ones who just give, the karunika ones, who don't even have a relationship other than their kind disposition towards others, they are the supermost lovers. And again,
Krishna is indicating the gopis in that position because that's what their specific relationship with Krishna as the highest is parakyaras, which means no relationship. When you means paramour. When you, if one is married, you take on the responsibility of maintaining a wife. Krishna didn't take on that responsibility, even. And they were just, and they still had given their hearts to Krishna. So it was the, so he's specifically naming them as the topmost lovers. But in this verse, which is the third one, is the neutral. The neutral type of lover. So far we've had three different varieties of lovers. The parental, Karunaka, and the business type. So, but this type is the third type, which is those who are neutral. You give them, they don't respond. No matter what you do, they don't respond. So that's bhajato pi navai kichid bhajant abhajata kuta. Whatever you do, they don't respond. This is the third type. And in that type, in this particular type, there are three different categories. Excuse me, four different categories within that type who don't respond. And that's the second part of the verse. So the first part is bhajatu, those who are acting favorably, api, even, navai, they certainly, there is no reciprocation. Bhajati in the second case means reciprocation. Abhajataha means with those who are acting favorably, people are acting favorably towards them and they don't reciprocate. And that's what the gopis are in fact accusing Krishna of. You are not reciprocating. We're loving you. We're giving everything to you. But they want the words, yes, I have done this, to come out of Krishna's mouth, admitting his own guilt so they take his plea and then they can impose punishment on him. I plead guilty, Your Honor. But Krishna, his words will describe more what is actually in his mind. So the next part of the verse, Atmarama, Aptakama, Akritagya, and Guru Droha. These are four different types of individuals who do not reciprocate. So far we have three, and these four are going to turn into six. And there'll be a total, as Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, of nine different categories. And the gopis have asked Krishna, in which category do you place yourself? So, Atmarama, the self-satisfied. So this is one of those who don't reciprocate. Self-satisfied means that internally, of course, there's the famous verse from the seventh chapter of the first canto, where Suta Goswami says that there are different types of Atmaramas. But here, Atmarama refers to those whose satisfaction comes from within. Atmarama. Within their own selves, they are feeling satisfaction. And therefore, because they're feeling self-satisfied, you give them something, you don't give them anything, they don't care. Because their pleasure is within, they're spiritually self-satisfied. So that's the first kind of one who doesn't reciprocate. The second one, certainly, is up to come. And up to come means those who have already attained their material desires. Just like if you have just eaten a big feast and you're full up to here. You're completely full. And then someone says, here's some nice sweet rice, Prabhu. And how do you respond? Okay. No. When you're full, when you're satisfied on the material level, you respond by saying, oh, I can't take it. So this is the second type of individual who does not respond. They're externally, their focus is external. Material desires. The Atmaram is focused internally on spiritual truth, and he's satisfied in that way. And the up to come, his material desires are already satisfied, so therefore he doesn't reciprocate. If you walk over to a billionaire, a person who has $50 billion, and says, I'd like to give you $10. No meaning, no desire, no need. So that's the second type of person who doesn't reciprocate. So there's Atmaram and up to come. The third is Akritagya.
Akritagya.
Those who are ungrateful.
Those who are ungrateful.
So Akritagya is those who are ungrateful. You're helping them, you're supporting them, you're giving them. And they don't care. They have material desires. You're helping them fulfill the material desires, and they remain ungrateful. You're supporting them. You're giving them. You're providing for them. They just take it for granted, feel no need to reciprocate. So is that very nice? So it's going, these are all, they're going down, 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 down. Atmaram. Second was Aptakam. Third, Akritagya, ungrateful. And the fourth here is Guru Droha, Druha. And Guru Druha means those who are inimical, not only ungrateful, which is somewhat neutral. Those who become inimical to those who support and give them. And the Guru Droha, and Guru refers to anyone, not only spiritual master Guru, or spiritual master's Guru, but anyone who supports us. And Droha means inimical to them. They're giving and you kick. And there are three different categories. So one by one it goes down and down and down and down. The three different categories. One, first one is Alpadroha. I wrote down what they were. The first one is you have reasons, logical reasons why you're inimical. This person did this, they're supporting me, okay. But still, they did this and this and this and this and this. It's quite an interesting analysis of the psychology of a conditioned soul. I'd say interesting, but what I also mean is embarrassing. Very difficult to be confronted with our own ungratefulness and selfishness and inimicalness. So going down further is this Alpa Droha, which means inimical to those who support us. One step further down. First is the Alpa Droha, is inimical, but with reason. I have my reasons. This person did this, this person did this, this person did that, even those who supported me. The second one is you just, those who are protecting you, you become inimical to. And the third one is betraying the deep faith of those of superiors. That's the lowest one. So this Guru Droha, Droha means not only does one fail to recognize the assistance rendered to them by the person and not reciprocating with that, also expressing in different ways enmity towards such a person, the ones who support and maintain and protect, etc. So I'll read. So there are three different categories of Guru Droha. And there are three others, the Akrita Gyan, Aptakam, and Atmaram. So that means in this category there are six. This verse describes six different people who don't reciprocate. And added to the two from the previous verse, the parental ones and the merciful ones, that's eight. And the first one, the business fellows, that's nine. So they have made nine different categories of lovers of varying degrees. And they have asked Krishna to place himself indirectly. They didn't say, which one are you, Krishna? They say, oh, Krishna, which one do you think is the best? They're angry at him. So here's the translation. Then, so this is the, again, this is the third verse describing the third different type. This is the, those who don't reciprocate, who don't feel obliged. You've given me so much. I remember when we were growing up in the 60s, the mood was, if the parents, because the whole society was starting to, the whole fabric of society was starting to break apart in the West in the 60s in the United States. So the mood was, in relationship to one's parents, I don't owe you anything. I didn't ask you to bring me into this world. Clearly, one of the different varieties of Guru Droha, ungrateful to superiors. That this type of mentality causes so much misery in the heart. So here is the translation, then there's a short purport. Then there are those individuals who are spiritually self-satisfied, materially fulfilled. Okay, I'm going to. Which one is the spiritually self-satisfied? Materially fulfilled? Yes. Or by nature ungrateful. Akritagya, or simply envious of superiors, Guru Droha. Such persons will not love even those who love them. What to speak of those who are inimical? Please repeat. Then there are those individuals who are spiritually self-satisfied, materially fulfilled, or by nature ungrateful, or simply envious of superiors. Such persons will not love even those who love them. What to speak of those who are inimical? Oh, here's the short purport. Some people, being spiritually self-satisfied, do not reciprocate others' affection, because they want to avoid entanglement in mundane dealings. Who is an example of that from the Bhagavatam? Yes. Jadabarak. What does jada mean? Do you know? Stone or unconscious. No reciprocation. I guess there is sound. But dull. Jada, unconscious. So Jada Bharat, even though he was so deeply conscious of Krishna, actually, he did not reciprocate with the love and affection and the hopes of his father, because he did not want to become entangled in the material world. He refused. Why? Why was he so determined not to become entangled in the material world? Excuse me?
Because he was suffering in the past.
deer.
Yes, he became attached to a deer. So he said, okay, I gave up my kingdom, I became attached to a deer. This time, nothing, no material attachments. I've had enough. I want to go home. I want to go to Krishna. I'm not getting entangled and attached to anything of this material world. One cannot bluff that type of determination. It is born of experience. So he refused to reciprocate. Even though he was a great devotee, his father was a Brahmin, born in an exalted Brahmin family, he refused to reciprocate. His father would teach him, he would do the opposite consciously. He did not want to become entangled in the material world. And still others, the purport continues, fail to reciprocate because they are materially satisfied. They don't need anything, why reciprocate? Which one is that?
Aptakam.
Yes. And thus, they are uninterested in new material opportunities. Lord Krishna patiently explains all these things to the gopis. Haribolya. Okay. Any questions on this? Yeah.
In one case, the Atman in the Bhagavatam, like you mentioned, is being glorified in the case of Dharavara. But on the other hand, it's being criticized here. So how are we supposed to do this?
What's the difference between this kind of Atmaram and the dealings that are, according to the gopis, he's not reciprocating with, and Jadbharat's?
In the case of the gopis, they're directly in contact with Krishna.
Yes. There's not a tinge of materialism in there. This is love. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness, the highest pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. And of course, Krishna cannot resist reciprocating with them. Because love pulls us, it forces us, it moves us. Anyone who's a person, unless someone is so covered by sinful reactions which make the heart hard like stone, one reciprocates with love. One's heart must become melted by love. So that's one case. And Krishna, in fact, as we'll hear in the next few verses, perhaps we'll finish these in the next 2 days, the remaining three verses, we'll hear how Krishna is reciprocating on a very, very, very deep level, but not on the level that the gopis are expecting. He cannot help but reciprocate with the spiritual love of the gopis because he is Bhakta Vatsala. He cannot help it. That's on one hand. On the other hand, with Jadbharat, it was the material family life. He refused to become entangled in it.
This,
yes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's just someone who's spiritually self-satisfied, even a bhajananandi, they don't want to become, they don't deal with the material world. They don't go out, but if someone comes to them, they will preach and help them. It doesn't seem to be specifically, it's just, there are many different kinds of atmarams described in that verse in the 7th chapter. But basically it just means spiritually self-satisfied.
There's a certain class that's spiritually self-satisfied that is not reciprocating with Krishna.
No. Not. It's not with Krishna. They're not talking about reciprocating with Krishna. They're saying
they're not reciprocating with their love. And they're, because we've been discussing this the last few days, the gopis have given Krishna everything. They don't hold back anything from Krishna. His pleasure is the only thought in their consciousness. So he plays his flute and he calls them and they drop everything they are doing. Their safety, their family entanglement, their relationships with their parents, their relationship with their husbands, their relationship with their children. Because Krishna wants them to come, and they know this by the call of Krishna's flute in the middle of the night, and they leave everything to go to Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates with their full love by saying, "Oh, it is very nice that you have come. Now you can go home." And then in the middle, and then he just disappears from their sight, and their hearts are breaking. Their love is so intense. Their hearts are breaking, and in fact they become mad in separation from Krishna. They become completely mad in their separation from Krishna. They cannot tolerate even a moment not being without him. Their desire to please him is so great. And Krishna has gone away from them. Then he returns after they speak the words of the 31st chapter. And they're a bit angry at him on a completely transcendental level for leaving them in that state when their love is so complete. So they're asking him these questions, with saying that there are many types of lovers in this world, O Krishna, O Achyuta. There are many types of lovers in this world. They mention these three. Which type are you? But they don't say which type are you. Which do you think are the best? Because they're trying to trap him into admitting that he's not properly reciprocated with their fullness of giving themselves to him. But they speak indirectly. But that's what they're trying to do. But Krishna, now, this is his explanation of the third type. The ones who are neutral. The first type is one who, the business. Yes, you have loved me 10%, I'll love you 10%. Like a business friendship. You have so many friends in the business world, but when there's no profit, you have no friends. And then the other type, divided into two categories, are those who just give and give and give, regardless if there is a return or not. And these are very rare, and these are divided into two categories. With relationship, like parents, they have a relationship. They're my children. I have to take care of them. Or just the merciful, who cannot, they just open their hearts to help others, regardless of how the person takes it. There's a little story of how a sadhu was walking, and he saw a scorpion next to a lake of water, and he was drowning. So he picked up the scorpion in his hand to save it. He was walking with his friend too. He picked up the scorpion to save it from drowning. And what do you think the scorpion did? More exactly, stung him. And a scorpion sting is quite intense. And then Sadhu put him down, walked further, and he saw another scorpion in the water, drowning in the flood waters. And he picked him up. And what did the scorpion do? Stung him. So his friend said, "Baba, I can understand perhaps out of your kindness. You did it the first time, but the second time you did it also? And the sadhu said, well, he was just following his nature and I was just following my nature. I think that should be some kind of a little sign on the outside of the temple room that says, he who entereth shall turneth off his mobile phone. So the Karuna, the one who have the merciful one, as we described in yesterday's text, is actually Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, is considered the highest. And out of all those, the gopis, Krishna is indirectly glorifying their love because it is so complete and it's so full and it demands no reciprocation. Because when we perform our devotionals, I'll speak for myself. You know, I want some happiness, I want some peace, I want some appreciation, maybe, whatever. If I don't get it, that's not love, that's business. And so, and deeply hidden in our attempts to become lovers of Krishna are these subtle material desires, up to the point, and especially that point of liberation, freedom from all misery. If it comes between difficulties and undergoing difficulties and service to Krishna, which do I take? Or I take an easy way? So what's really happening, which will become clearer in the next 2 days when Krishna in tomorrow's verse will say, actually, he's described in detail these three categories, made them into 9 categories, but what he's going to say is, I'm not in any of them. And then he's going to open up his heart and mind. And then we get a glimpse of Krishna's heart. Because we're allowed to overhear, just like when two people who have complete love and trust are talking to each other, those people can open up their heart and they'll tell someone what's in the deepest part of their mind. They won't just tell anyone because the other person may misuse it. We keep our little secrets in there for those who we really trust and have deep affection for. So when two exalted persons are talking, there's a tendency to always want to know what they're talking about. You see them in the corner over there talking, you want to know, what are they saying to each other? And there was that peculiar incident recently where that Bush and Blair were talking privately and the microphone picked it up and there were some curse words coming out of Bush's, so it wasn't anything exalted at all because the persons weren't exalted. But when the most exalted persons speak, and this is Krishna speaking with the gopis, the most exalted personalities in existence, we get the opportunity to hear their confidential discussion here by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva, by the mercy of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, by the mercy of Srila Sutta Goswami, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Srila Sridhar Swami, by the mercy of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, explain, because we won't understand because we are on this level. And their words are very, 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 very deep. So by the mercy of the acharyas, they explain to us the depth of the meaning that is going on in this very intimate discussion. And in this, we will understand Krishna's heart. And we'll understand the most amazing thing. And the most amazing thing is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-powerful one, the original personality in existence, he is conquered by the love of his devotees. The unconquerable Ajita becomes conquered by his devotees. And this is the secret of Braja. And this is why Krishna Padamekam Nagachati does not take one step out of Vrindavan. He is held captive there by the love of the Braja Gopis, the residents of Vrindavan. So this is the most confidential, most intimate, most wonderful thing, most incredible opportunity to touch this with our ears, because it will enter the heart, and then we'll understand what love is, and then we'll understand also what love isn't, and then we'll understand why we are here as opposed to there. At least I can't speak for you. And then we'll understand what the challenge of our life is and what the goal of our life is, and then we'll understand how serious we have to partake of the process to become qualified, eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. And then we'll understand how much we need mercy. And then we'll appreciate a person like Sri Prabhupada. Any other questions? No comments? Prabhupada wanted to give something very, very wonderful. He pushed the devotees. He pushed the devotees. But it was for this purpose. He wanted to give the jewel of the Veda culture, Krishna Prem. He wanted that Mahaprabhu's gift to be spread all over the world. So somehow or another, if we can reciprocate with this, help, or not reciprocate, the word, exact word I'm looking for, assist Prabhupada in his mission, assisting Mahaprabhu, assisting Prabhupada, assisting his Guru Maharaj, assisting all the way back to Mahaprabhu, then I think we are very fortunate. But it's not easy. It's not easy. We want it to be easy. We want spiritual life to be easy. But it's the I remembered the word last time. It's the crucible. That's the word. Spiritual life is the crucible of purification, where the soul, ourselves, is separated from the impurities, where we become confronted with our insincerity continuously, and it's very difficult for that reason. But what else is worthwhile doing in this world? Becoming wealthy, becoming famous, existing, having a wonderful family. Whatever, you know, we go through life, and what happens is when you get older in life, you think, oh, I wish I had this, and I wish I never got what I needed, like this. And then based on that, that's in the consciousness when you die, And then you get an opportunity to get that, whatever you think that you needed. You know, the perfect wife, the perfect husband, the perfect children. This life, I don't know Sanskrit. You know, I can't sing and play the harmonium. I can't do this. I'm not strong. Whatever, you know, whatever we think that we missed out on in this life. You know, the only if. And these are all what rises to the surface in the crucible of spiritual life. And all of it has to be skimmed off with one desire left. Only if I had some love for Krishna and his servants, and only if I had some taste for chanting Krishna's names. Only if I had a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. Only if I could become a servant of the Vaishnavas, deeply and sincerely. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.